We are back again with our partners from Connecticut Food Share and their president and CEO, Jason Jakubowski. We're here in mid-September, which is Hunger Action Month. And as you know, Connecticut Food Share supports individuals and families from one end of the state to the other by addressing root causes, creating long-term solutions, and distributing nutritious food through local partner programs in an effort to alleviate hunger. Jason is out on the road as we speak, traversing the state, and we will be back to chat with him about some of the important work and the important benefits that you can help deliver to hungry people here in Connecticut through Connecticut Food Share right after this reminder about another key partner of ours here on the award-winning For the People. I'm talking about all the great folks at the Women's Business Development Council. They just announced their 2024 Women Rising Awardees. They're going to be recognized at WBDC's annual Gala and Awards celebration on October 25th for their commitment to the WBDC, a demonstrated success in their business, and tenacity in pursuing their goals. The event begins at 11 a.m. at the Hyatt Regency Greenwich. And if you'd like to meet these entrepreneurs and community leaders and get all the details so you can be part of the event, just visit the Women's Business Development Council at ctwbdc.org. All right, Jason, where do we find you today?
Today, I was in West Hartford. Now I'm in New Britain, actually heading down to Oxford in a little bit. The last week and then the next two Fridays, we're doing a emergency food distribution for the families that were affected by the floods down there. We had about 65 families last Friday. We expect probably about the same this week, and just trying to help them out in their time of need.
Fantastic. Well, this is what Connecticut Food Share is all about. And doubly important this month of September during Hunger Action Month, where I understand that you guys have created an opportunity for folks to double their support to the organization. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, thanks to the very generous donation from one of our larger donors, they offered to match whatever donations we're getting here in the next couple of weeks. So every dollar donated to Connecticut Food Share turns into $2, and those $2 can turn in. We can turn that into four meals. So definitely it's a good bang for your buck if you're looking to donate and double the impact that you have here in the community. It's tough. I mean, we're heading into the holiday season. We're heading towards the end of the year. We just got out of summer. There's quite frankly, a lot of the lines that I'm seeing they're as big as they were at the peak of the pandemic in some cases.
I hate to hear that, but I'm glad we're able to get on the air and tell people how they can help. So we try to talk about it every time we have a conversation with you and your predecessors about the dynamic between going to the grocery store and maybe getting a couple of extra cans of soup, an extra box of cereal, or some toilet items, some hygiene products, and actually just kind of adding up the $2 or $3 or $5 or $10 that you'd spend at the store to get those half a dozen things and give them to Connecticut Food Share versus just giving them the $10.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's an economy of scales, John, and you kind of hit the nail on the head. What I always say, if you take a dollar and you go into the grocery store, you can buy one can of soup. If you give us a dollar, if you give a food bank a dollar, we're able to buy 20 cans of soup for that same dollar because we're buying it by the truckload. We're not buying, one at a time. We're not paying retail prices. We're paying wholesale prices. And that's one of the economical benefits of food banks, and why there are, you know, 200 Feeding America food banks across the country, is because we're able to buy at such at such a lower economical rate, because we're buying at such a higher quantity. So yes, a dollar given to a food bank is always going to go farther than a dollar spent at the store on your own.
Hmm. Another way that Connecticut Food Share helps to maximize the power and energy that you guys have to be able to deliver the most best nutritious food to the most people in need is through partnerships with various entities in the landscape of Connecticut's food industry to rescue surplus food. Can we talk a little bit about who you partner with and what that process looks like, and how you sort of air traffic control all the logistics around that kind of thing?
It is like air traffic control. And if you talk to Fred Goodman, who's in charge of the 5-person team that oversees the retail rescue, he'd probably describe himself as an air traffic controller. We're very fortunate that about 75% of our food's donated from the Connecticut grocery industry. Those are, you know, grocers and other retailers and wholesalers here in the state of Connecticut that have surplus product that, instead of sending it to a landfill, are donating it to the food bank. To be very, very clear, we could not exist without the support of the Connecticut Food Association and with all of its members. Like I said, 75% of the food that we distribute is coming from those from those entities, and we're very appreciative of that. Stop and Shop is our number one donor, both in terms of dollars and in terms of product. Big Y, ShopRite, Costco, Target, numerous other retailers across the state of Connecticut help us. The air traffic control piece of it is that, you know, you're dealing with dozens, in some cases hundreds of stores across the state of Connecticut, and we actually employ a team of five, a retail rescue team, whose job it is to have one-on-one relationships with those stores so that they know, hey, when there's surplus product, give us a call, let us know, we'll come pick it up, or one of our volunteers will pick it up, or one of our local pantries will pick it up. And one of the ways that we've gotten more sophisticated and more efficient in recent years too is, you know, in the old days, you know, Connecticut Food Share would pick up all the food, bring it back to our headquarters in Wallingford, sort it, and then give it out to pantries. Now, you know, we're kind of doing matchmaking in that we'll find a local pantry and facilitate them picking up the food directly from the grocery store. It's kind of eliminating the middleman. Mm. So it's really a win-win. But it's a complicated system. There are so many stores across the state, but we simply could not do what we do without them. They are our heroes every single day.
Well, so, John, one of the other areas I wanted to address, because frankly, people approach me about it so often, is surplus prepared food. So many, so many stores, restaurants, even the large big box grocery stores now have these massive buffet type arrangements of pre-prepared food, where you can just go in and build your dinner or your lunch or your snack and leave the store with it hot. Can you talk a little bit about the challenges? Because people say, well, why can't we donate more? We had a testimonial, and we have three unopened chafing dishes of ziti here. You know, why can't we donate that to an organization like Connecticut Food Share? What do they do with that?
Yeah. Well, the short answer is health regulations. We are a highly regulated, not just entity, but a highly regulated industry in food banking. We take shelf stable food. We can take perishable food. We could take prepared food if it is packaged and or frozen. What we cannot take is hot prepared food. What we do, though, I mean, it doesn't mean all hope is lost. What we do is if an entity calls us up and says, hey, I have those extra trays, what we will do is we will hook them up with whatever the closest one of our partners is to them, one of the local pantries, and try to facilitate a donation in that way. Just because we can't take the food, we can't take prepared food ourselves, doesn't mean that our local pantries can't. So we try our best to, you know, we're anti-food waste. We want to be able to use as much as we possibly can. And if there's good food out there that, that people in need are able to eat, we want to find a way of facilitating that. So, so that's what we do in those circumstances.
That's great. So here we are in September. This is Food Action Month. And Hunger Action Month, I should say. Tell us a little bit about how Connecticut Food Share steps it up even a little extra during September.
Well, I think there's two things. One is in terms of, you know, it's not like there's any more food distributed in September. We do what we do year round. We do it all 12 months of the year. And you know, people ask what's the hardest time of the year. Usually the summer is the hardest time of the year for food insecurity because kids are out of school. But during the winter months, summer months, fall, I mean, every month of the year, we continue to do what we our normal program every single day. What's special about September is that it gives us an opportunity to raise awareness about what we do. People think about us often at the holidays. I know you and I will probably talk about frozen turkeys in a couple of months. You know, it's an annual thing, especially here in New England, and it makes people feel good to give around the holidays and think about Thanksgiving and the December holidays and everything. However, by having Hunger Action Month in September, it gives us as a society, as a community, and then also obviously policymakers, the opportunity to reflect on where we were compared to last year. In the state of Connecticut, food insecurity has increased 23% over the last year. And by the way, that's not unique to Connecticut. It matches a trend across the United States, but we look at, you know, how do you compare this September to where we were last September? There's people that are really hurting. There's a lot of middle class families that are gainfully employed that simply don't have access to food, and that is it's unfortunate and it's unacceptable. So September gives us the opportunity to talk not only with each other, not only with donors, with folks such as your listeners, for example, but also with lawmakers and people who are in decision making positions, and letting them know that this is a real problem even here in the richest state in the country. There's 470,000 people in Connecticut that are food insecure.
So to sort of put that into a perspective that everyone could understand, about this time last year, a little over 1 in 5 Connecticut residents might be experiencing some sort of hunger issue. Now we're much closer to 1 in 4, just about at 1 in 4. I mean, that's a big jump. That's a big jump.
Here's the worst stat is that a year ago it was 1 in every 8 children in Connecticut. It's now 1 in every 6 children in Connecticut. And I, you know, again, we have a tremendous amount of wealth in Connecticut. We also have a tremendous amount of poverty. That's one of the things that keeps us all up at night is how is it possible here in this state that 1 out of every 6 kids doesn't know where their next meal is coming from. I mean, it's heartbreaking when you think about it. You know, thankfully we do have people that support the work that we do and that support their local food pantries to help alleviate that. But 1 in every 6 in one of the richest states in the country, it's unacceptable.
Well, all the more reason why folks should go to ctfoodshare.org and take advantage of the opportunity to give now, where your partner benefactor has been so kind as to provide a doubling mechanism. So as we talked about earlier in the program, if you want to go to the grocery store and spend $1 on a can of soup, then you give a can of soup. If you give that dollar to Connecticut Food Share, they can get 10 cans of soup. So you could think of September as an opportunity for every one of the $1 that you would spend on a can of soup will actually get 20 cans of soup. And that's if you give now here in September to Connecticut Food Share, ctfoodshare.org. In the last minute or so that we have with you this morning, Jason, please let us know other ways that people can give in terms of volunteerism if they can't write a check or spare the cash.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, monetary donations are accepted, but we also know a lot of people have time to donate, and they want to donate either, you know, at our headquarters or out at one of our mobile trucks or one of our partner agencies. People can go to ctfoodshare.org and in order to make a monetary donation, but also if they want to sign up for a volunteer shift. We are very blessed that we have 5,700 unique volunteers every single year at Connecticut Food Share. And it ends up being the equivalent of about 23 full-time staff members. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're a nonprofit. We simply could not afford to hire 23 additional full-time staff members. So we need volunteers. ctfoodshare.org is where you can make a donation, where you could sign up to volunteer. Also, most importantly, John, if you are in need of help, go to ctfoodshare.org because we have on there, you know, lists of all of our pantries that are open. We have a list of all of our mobile sites that are available. Mm-hmm. You could also call, you know, 860-856-HELP if you need to sign up for SNAP benefits. Or if you can't remember any of those things, you could always call United Way at 211. We update them every day on what's open and what's not. But and if you know people that are in need, again, refer them to our website or to 211.
Jason Jakubowski is president and CEO of Connecticut Food Share, delivering an informed and equitable response to hunger by mobilizing community partners, volunteers, and supporters, serving Connecticut going all the way back to 1982. Connecticut Food Share is also a member of the Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks. Jason, we thank you for your time this morning. Best of luck, and we'll talk to you right before the holidays.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.